In conversation with Julian Font. Julian Font's narrative is nothing short of extraordinary in the world of words. From a 10-year-old fan fiction prodigy to a force in best-selling fiction, his journey brims with passion and unyielding commitment to storytelling. At a young age, Julian Font scribbled stories in his journals that dance with imagination. Yet the cacophony of conformity during his teenage years dimmed his creative spark as he reshaped himself to fit societal molds. In a short time, Julian Font has transformed from an aspiring wordsmith to a literary luminary. Coming off the sources of his debut novel, Night After Night, his most recent release, Right My Wrong, soared to the top rank of Amazon Rockstar's romance bestseller list for weeks, captivating readers globally. Amidst Dick's accent, Julian Font clings to an unwavering truth, is here to tell stories. His words are not just ink on a page, they are an echo of a divine mission, a symphony of purpose. Julian Font is the author of three novels, Night After Night, Right My Wrongs, Look Away, and is currently on the revisiting phase for his upcoming romance, one that has been rumored to make an impact on the romance genre itself. And on today's episode of Photo Interview, it's my utmost pleasure, joy, and excitement to have the show today, Julian Font. How are you doing, Julian?
Doing well, Peter. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you taking the time. And I just want to say big shout out to you because your channel is extremely helpful. And I noticed that you're reaching out to aspiring authors and what you're doing is amazing. I would have benefited a lot when I first started. So it's an honor to be here talking about, you know, everything we're about to talk about book related. So excited to be here, man. Doing well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the kind words. Got me blushing. And it's quite lovely, actually, to have you on the show today. Quite exciting. We're going to be having a conversation around your beautiful titles, really. Thanks for coming along.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, Julian, could you tell us about your fiction novel, Night After Night, The Dark Heart Behind Throwing White Parties, whose description page on Amazon read quite captivatingly compelling to me? I want to ask you, how does this book come about? What inspired you to write Night After Night? And I particularly love the title name, even Night After Night. Sounds uncommon and fun, yeah?
Thank you. Yeah, I have it right here. So Night After Night was my first novel around the same, within maybe a year of writing it at the time. It's about an up-and-coming nightclub promoter who's exposed to this dark side of the Hollywood party scene. And the way that it came about was I had a very, I'll come right out and say, I had a very reckless ages like 18 to 21 year old era, you know, during the college time here. I was going to a lot of nightclubs and I saw both the superficial side, so a lot of the glitz and glamour that you see in the Hollywood party scene, but also this darker side. I noticed that a lot of people were taking bits and pieces of the trauma that they had either experienced in the past or were currently experiencing, and they were kind of blanketing the party scene over it. Instead of facing that trauma head on, they were diverting their attention to substance abuse and party culture. And it's very pretty, and Hollywood perceives it in a very pretty way. But what people see is a lot of the darker things that happen when you drink too much, or unfortunately, people get taken advantage of when you're severely under the influence. And so after experiencing a few of those experiences myself, I felt compelled to write a novel that sort of explored that darker side to hopefully help others prevent themselves from coping with trauma in a way that is very superficially, like it's a superficial antidote. It's not, party culture is not something that's going to fix your problems. And I really want for people to understand that before they get into this full-fledged party in Hollywood scene. So that's what that book is about. It's a curation of crazy party stories that this nightclub promoter experiences, hopefully shedding light on the darkness in such a glamorous scene.
Oh, wow. That sounds like an amazing introduction, actually, into becoming an author. That sounds like a lovely way into coming into terms with writing. I love you talking about the making of Night After Night. Sounds quite amazing. And now I can tell where the title Night After Night came or sprout from.
Another absolutely book. This title of partying, Night After Night.
It's very obvious now. At least we have a snippet. We have an idea of how it came to be. Please, if you have the book, could you show it to the camera just so we see what it looks like? Yeah, and that's such a beautiful cover, really. Would you like to talk a bit about the making of the cover?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So everything I did myself mostly because I didn't
Wow.
know anyone who wrote books. So it was up to me to
Interesting.
go on YouTube and everything. So when I designed the cover, I wanted it to be discreet enough for people to understand that it is from a party scene. So it's in a
Yeah, I can
nightclub
see.
and you have the lights emitting. Felt like a blue hue while I was writing this novel when I pictured these scenes. And you have hands that are in the air and people just sort of submitting themselves to intoxication and impairing their minds, which gets them exposed to this dark nightclub scene in Hollywood.
Oh, wow. That's quite interesting, really. I can relate with that. That's quite very fun to know. Yeah, thanks for sharing. And also, you have another book in the name of Right My Wrongs. For readers who haven't read that yet, and of course, without giving much information away, could we have a sneak of what you'd expect in terms of themes, particularly picking up Right My Wrongs?
Absolutely. So, Right My Wrongs is a second novel I published. It's a rock star romance. So, it's about two
Wow.
songwriters who fall in love through the songs they write together. And you have polar opposite worlds that these two characters come from. And when they collide, you have this beautiful sort of cacophony of music that's created. And they create this project together. And I actually wrote the songs that are in the book. I played the songs and I
Wow.
recorded the songs. Then
Wow.
released on Spotify and all streaming platforms for
Interesting.
anyone to listen to. So after they finish reading the novel, they're able to listen to the music on Spotify that's written by the characters. As far as themes go, I would say the relationship between parents and children and the toxicity that comes from that and how they work through those toxic relationships, that's an important theme. Another one is pouring trauma through music as a creative outlet. That's something the characters work through. And another theme is submitting yourself to the unknown, choosing passion over a paycheck, not knowing what happens next outside the world of stability, and finding an opportunity to essentially work while loving what you do for work.
Wow.
And so that's something that the characters learn throughout the novel. And I think it's a great time because you're able to listen as opposed to read.
Wow. That's quite amazing, really. And I like the fact when you show the book to the camera, it's quite voluminous. And again, I think this is the second one you've got in the romance genre. Got me curious to ask you. What inspired you to pick this genre? What inspired your love in this particular genre? Would you like to shed some light on that? Perhaps you have an answer to that.
Yeah, it's a great question. At the time, I believe I was writing it in 2022. I actually experienced a lack of romance in my own life, so I thought, what better way to experience it than having characters fall in love? And so, writing in the romance genre gave me this opportunity to connect with these characters on a deeper level because I tend to fall in love with characters who fall in love. And so, that's something that I got to experience while writing this. Fell in love with it, and now I'm back to writing romance. So my fourth novel will be a romance, and I can just say while I write this
Wow.
new draft, I've really missed love in general because I wrote a thriller and I lost sight of that. So it's nice to fall in love with the little details that come with building connections between characters.
Oh, that's quite interesting, really. I love your take in there. Thank you. And also, you've mentioned turning your book into movies. Is that still your plan? If so, how do you plan to make it happen? I'm just curious.
100%. When I actually first started taking writing seriously, ironically, I wanted to be an actor. So when I first got started, I was in pursuit of being an actor. I go to this audition and I see a bunch of other guys that are going for the same role, and they're all taller, better looking, more charismatic than me. And I thought, okay, I gotta take a step back. I'm gonna start. I thought it's way easier for me to write in the style of prose or write the story as a book. And when I started writing as a book, I had myself in the position of the main character. And I basically, when I write my stories, I picture myself as the main character. And that sort of helps me fill this void of, not really working as an actor, not yet. And so the plan is to turn my books into movies and then put myself in the roles of the characters that I write about. Now, it's a long way there, but it's totally rewarding when I get to share my stories, and it'll be easier to turn them into film adaptations that way because when I publish a book, it's protected. So now that I have three
Yeah.
books, I'm in talks with different producers, different production companies, where if they're
Wow.
ready to take on the rights of this novel and then implement me and my readers and other people that are involved in my project into becoming these movies, I think it'd be an excellent story. Just open
Absolutely.
these stories. I'm already in talks with studios, and if I have to fall back from big studios, I'll go to indies. If I can't land an indie, then I'm gonna make these movies myself.
Oh wow, that's quite amazing, really. That's an amazing, I mean, that's an amazing passion you've got there, yeah? An amazing dedication you've got as well. And it's quite amazing to know, yeah, that even despite if it's not gonna work, you have plans to do it yourself. That's quite amazing, really. I love hearing people make such a bold declaration and getting so, moved, yeah, passionate, unyielding on a particular glorious task. Thanks for sharing. I enjoyed you talking about it. It's quite nice to know. Yeah. Thank you. You also have another book in the name of Look Away, the book for the morbidly curious. Would you like to tell us a bit about that too?
Absolutely. So I have the copy right here. Look Away. So Look Away is the book for the morbidly curious. Now, this idea came about while I was driving and I was on the freeway. I was on the highway and I noticed there was a car accident on the side of the road. And a lot of people were stopping in traffic just to observe this car accident on the side of the road that had nothing to do with them. And as
Wow.
cars slowed down, I realized it's really fascinating how people literally cannot look away when they see something that's tragic. Crime documentaries, horror films, everyone wants a piece of that darkness for some reason. So I did some research and I found out that there's this something, it's something in our brain. It's a survival instinct called morbid curiosity. And we all have it. And it's the reason as to why we drive. And when we see an accident on the side of the road, we can't not look because our brains are designed to rule out whether a situation is dangerous or not before we can continue on our way. So, the Look Away is basically about a TV producer who comes up with a TV show idea that takes advantage of morbid curiosity, that then
Wow.
brainwashes the crowd that watches the show into committing morbid and violent acts.
Wow. Oh, wow. That sounds like an amazing introduction into a novel. It's quite amazing how, driving on a highway and observing an accident happening can, lead to you bringing out this beautiful idea, trying to create a story around it, yeah? That's quite beautiful, really. Thanks for sharing. I love the sound of Look Away. Yeah, I love the sound of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Julian, you've written three books in 2 years. I mean, three, not ordinary book, not a poetry collection, but a full-length novel. Three full-length novels in 2 years. And I must say that's quite commendable, really. And I would like to ask you, how long does it take you? How long does it take for you to write one book? And what advice do you have to others to write better and faster?
When I first wrote my book, when I first wrote the first book, it was a little over a year. And then as the two books came along, I got down to 6 to 8 months for each book. And
Wow.
I think a large part of that is approaching it. I actually approach it like an athlete. So an athlete has to train every day. They have games. They have a strict regimen, a strict calendar that they stick to. And through sticking to that strict calendar, you're able to perform better. Now, I have very, how do I say this? I have a very specific regimen. I eat foods that improve my brain processing. I'm always on top of exercise, which puts me in a proper brainwave state so that I can think through ideas more clearly. I prioritize my sleep and my rest. I treat my brain like a muscle. And that way, I don't have to deal with writer's block, which is what people call it, because my
Wow.
practice is my writing sessions and my games publishing dates. Now, I force myself to write. So I write every single day. Even if I don't feel like writing, I make sure that I write because the brain is wired to adapt. And I need to program my brain to adapt to writing good content whenever I need to write good content. And I find that the best way to do that is repetition. So I set strict goals for myself. I try to write about 500 words a day at minimum. And then before I know it, I have a finished book, usually around 6 to 8 months I would say.
Wow.
And I really try to dive into that world, and it gives me the opportunity to write faster.
Oh, wow. That sounds like you've got a lot ongoing, really. That's amazing. That's
Try
quite
to.
commendable as
Thank
well.
you.
Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing. I enjoy listening today. This is quite inspiring and also a bit educative. Thanks for sharing, Julian. Yeah. So there's this question that I
Yeah, thank
like
you.
asking authors, yeah, that come on my show. I've always been fascinated, and it's very evident even through your writing, the books you've read to the camera so far. I've always been fascinated about how authors, especially novelists like yourself, craft long sentences and bring words together in a way that sentence come together to make paragraph, and paragraph come together to make pages, and pages come together to make chapters, and chapters come together to make an amazing novel eventually. And this always leave me thinking, how exactly do these guys come together to pull this rest together? How did they get the ideas and inspiration to writing these books? You know, now as far as writing is concerned, I'd like to ask you too, Julia, how do you get your inspirations and ideas? Where do they come from?
That's a great question. I'm sure it varies from author to author, but for me, the inspiration usually comes from a problem that I want to solve. And so that my first book that I wrote, the problem was a lot of young people submit themselves to a party scene because they think that that's going to help them heal, sedating themselves with substances. I knew that that was a problem and I wanted to solve it. So I wrote a book that spread awareness on the toxic or the toxicity that comes from partying too hard. The second book, my problem was I was working a job that I wasn't very happy at. I wanted to pursue passion over a paycheck. And so I wrote about characters that pursued passion over a paycheck. Third
Interesting.
problem, or that I was trying to solve in my third book, was sort of being manipulated by media and TV and the wrong types of influence that's out there on the internet, which I'm sure you've seen as well. I
Yeah.
knew that was a problem I wanted to solve, so I wrote about characters that shed light on being manipulated by the media and certain things like that. Now, with that problem in mind, it can also be referred to as the moral of the story. And I find that when I start writing my books, I have this moral of the story in mind. And I want for my reader to grasp that moral, grasp that lesson that I want for them to learn. And the more that I cling on to that lesson, it really fuels me to finish the book because I know how important it is and how much my reader will benefit from learning the moral of the story. So the inspiration comes from a problem I'm trying to solve. That turns into a moral of the story I'm trying to communicate to the reader. And I would say that that inspires me to finish. When I feel like giving up, I remember why I started, which is finding the solution to that problem I feel moved by.
Oh, wow. This is such an amazing starter to writing a book. And I can agree with you because I think that basically, I love the fact that you mentioned a problem you like to solve. Yeah, being the basis or being the inspiration towards a particular book, in here, you're trying to solve this problem. In the second book, you're trying to solve this particular problem. And in the third book, you're trying to solve this particular problem. I think that's more like the message. Yeah, the main message of the book. Because even myself as a writer, where before I write a book, I try to look for a particular subject. I mean, you having a problem that you like to solve be the motivation to the first book, and you have another problem you like to solve be the motivation and inspiration to the making of the second book, and you have another problem you need to solve be the motivation and inspiration to the third book. Even I myself, as a writer, whenever I want to write a particular book, because I've written six so far, I love to have a particular subject I like to tackle in each book. I'll be like, okay, in this book, I want to talk about fate, the relationship between human fate and obstacle. In this book, I want to talk about, the hard issues of life. I mean, so many subjects here. And then in this book, I want to tackle obstacle. I want to tackle pain and lamentation. In this book, I want to tackle. So as we are talking, I can relate to it because I'm like, oh, this sounds like my style too when I want to write. Yeah, even in the other books that I've
Yeah,
currently
you get
screaming.
it.
Absolutely. In the other book that I was screaming in my head, I was like, I have a
And
particular
that's, I think,
subject I need to tackle through them. Yeah, that's a very good style to write in a book.
definitely. And you understand that. And I think it's totally amazing how, if you can grasp that, and if the problem is big enough and it's relatable enough on a
Yeah,
human level, that's what makes a writing timeless. Because we still
absolutely.
read books that are thousands of years old. And we're able to say, okay, if that's me, like I understand that that's a problem that I need to solve in my
Yeah.
life. And I think that will make the story last longer, long after we pass
Yes,
away. We want people to still be
absolutely.
reading our books, our poetry, our literary works. I think that's exactly how you do it.
Absolutely. And such kind of writing, like you mentioned, such kind of writing, even after 100 years to come, 20 years, 30 years, still speaks the same message, still speak rawly, speak so quickly, speak divinely, speak truly, and also relates to whatever current state that the people are going through at that particular level. Despite that, it's been written like 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 50 years ago. So I think I think to me, actually, I love your take on that, actually. But to me, it finds as if it's the basis of writing. Every writing should have a particular theme, a particular message that they try, that the writer seek to communicate in the book. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I love your take on that. And I find it to be quite commendable, well, wholesome, and very thoughtful of you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, absolutely. Now, let's talk a bit about artificial intelligence. What are your thoughts on AI reaching the literary world, and how do you see the literary world being affected by it? I'd love to have your take on that.
Absolutely. I think it's a hot topic. It's something that more people are starting to speak about in the book world as time goes on. And it's a hot topic because a lot of people are actually against it because there's this notion that it's stealing work because it pulls from a database of work that's already published, already
Yeah,
created. It's scrubbing through the internet
imagine.
from a more intelligent standpoint and packaging it in a way that's easily digestible for people. Now, I think just like most of the innovations in the world, there are good ways to use them, or how should I say, there are more moral ways to use them and then immoral ways to use them. Now, an immoral way for you to use AI would be to copy and paste, right?
Yeah.
Hey, AI, write this book for me, and then you have it write the book, you copy and you paste it. Now, it would technically be stealing other people's works. However, I think that it can be used to create or generate character images for you to pull inspiration from. I think it
Wow.
could be used to find better synonyms or ways to improve your writing, or create or
Interesting.
paint a picture of a setting that you might not be able to figure out or
Yes.
conjure up in your mind. So it can be referred to, I think. I think that's a positive way to use it. But in terms of copy and pasting, slapping your name on it, that might be a more unethical way to do it. So I
Yeah.
would prefer to stay guidelines of using it for a morally good purpose and use it to innovate, right? Because that's what it's designed for, not to replace, but more so to attach to your right and improve it.
Oh, wow. I love your take on that, actually. And that's actually giving me a different perception on the use of AI. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, thank you. Now, apart from night after night, look away, and right my wrong, do you have any other works you've authored or say currently working on?
I'm currently working on a brand new romance. It's a part of a very niche genre that I wanted to explore, and it's set in my hometown of Orange County, primarily in Laguna Beach, and then also in the Caribbean. And so if you're able to put together what that trope or what that subgenre would be, then so be it. I'm not going to put any spoilers out yet, but I will say that I listen to everything that my readers say they like and they don't like, and I apply it to my writing moving forward. This romance is for my readers. The ones who liked Right My Wrongs, you're gonna love this one. And I would say that, yeah, that's what I have in the works. I'm about to enter the revisions phase, and it typically goes by pretty fast for me. So I'm looking at a January, February release for this new romance.
Interesting. When I heard that it's a romance again, something popped up in my head. I don't want to interrupt you. Something popped up in my head. I wanted to say romance god.
Oh, no way. I appreciate that.
I wanted to say romance god. But you say it's a romance. I'm like, oh, romance god. But I said, well, let me hold on. When it finishes, I'm gonna say, yeah, that's a romance god. That's quite lovely to know, really. That's amazing, yeah.
Thank
That's amazing.
you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing. Now, could you tell us what publishing is like for a published author like yourself? Are there any challenges you've encountered in the process of writing these books and also ever since you've got published? And also, I'd like to ask you too, how do you handle criticism as a writer? I particularly love to hear your take about that too.
Yeah, it's a great question because that was the main question I had when I was writing my first book. I remember thinking, okay, I could write this book from beginning to end. That's an easy part, but how am I going to publish it? How am I going to turn it into something that I can flip through and actually use and sell and do all this stuff? And I'm 100% self-published. I actually think that the literary world is sort of heading in an interesting direction where if you're able to internet and sell directly from your personal profile, from your personal social media channels, directly to the readers with the tools that you have online for self-publishing. Now, the way that I do it is I write every chapter in a Google Doc. I put the Google Doc at the very end once revisions and everything's done. I put it all on one manuscript. And then we're at a point where you can put it in Adobe InDesign, format the book, the whole spread, every page, upload it to Amazon KDP, and then distribute it directly through Amazon KDP. There are no, how do I say this? Like, there are no excuses, right? Like, everyone is able to do this. It's just a matter of
Absolutely.
looking it up on YouTube, looking it up on Google, and adopting the problems that you want, that you're willing to put up with. I read this book. It was called, I won't say the curse word on it, but The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. And so the whole purpose of that book is to take on the problems you want to take on, because if you're not willing to take on these specific problems, then it's not for you. So if you really want to
Absolutely.
write a book, you have to be willing to put up with all the problems that come with writing a book. And
Absolutely.
self-publishing is one of them, marketing is another one. And yeah, so self-publishing is, it gets messy, but there are the tools that are online and available to everyone else on YouTube. That's what I did. I looked it up, I learned it as I went, and I was able to self-publish and push it through Amazon, get on BookTok, get on Bookstagram, Instagram, all that stuff, publish, develop relationships with your readers, and next thing you know, you're going to be walking around and someone's going to be reading your book in a park, and you're going to look at it and say, wow, I can't believe that something that here is in their hands.
Absolutely. That's one of the beauty of being an author, really. That's really one of the beauty of being an author. And I really particularly love your take on this. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. Now, I'd just like to ask you before we call it a day, before we wrap up today, is there anything that you'd love to share with the viewers about your books that we did not mention in this interview? I'd love the viewers to know. Also, what advice do you have for up-and-coming writers?
I guess a message like to my readers would be to hang with me on this because we've come a long way since Night After Night. If you've read my first book compared to my last book that I wrote, you'll definitely see progress. I think that you'll see growth. And I think it's important to note that I don't just write to entertain. Like, I write to educate, I write to enlighten, and hopefully bring that solution to a problem that we're trying to solve together. My books are mine until you, the reader, pick it up, and then it becomes ours. And so I really do genuinely see this journey as it's me and the readers. It's not just me. I have big plans for the stories. It's not going to stop at books. We're going to turn them into movies. We're going to turn them into TV shows, plays, and all forms and mediums of storytelling. So hang with me. I'm going to have roles for my readers, roles for you, Peter, ready to go when we turn these guys into movies. And as far as advice goes, cling to that moral of the story. Really understand why you became an author. Write it down. Tattoo on it. Tattoo it to you if you have to. If you have to remind yourself, that's what I do. And every time I look down, I know when I'm reminded that this journey, it's bigger than me, right? Because history is it's accumulation of stories, and I want to contribute as
Absolutely.
many stories as I can to that. So if you aspiring authors can understand that you're playing a bigger role, or you're playing a role in a bigger story, I think it'll be very inspiring and motivational for you when it comes to cranking out as many stories as you can in your lifetime. And understand for readers to know if you have a story to tell and you're willing and brave enough to tell that story and share it with the world, it's 100% possible. All of the tools are online. It's not expensive. You just need a search engine. You need Google. You need YouTube. Look it up. You are not an author. You don't become an author when you publish. You become an author the moment you start writing. And so I think that you shouldn't be demoralized thinking to yourself, I gotta write this whole book and I gotta get a book deal and everything else. That's not how it works. Just start your story, attach yourself to it, stick with the moral of the story, know how it's going to impact the reader, keep your reader's interests in mind and how you'll elevate the life of the reader. And when you finish that story, it's going to be so much more worth it. And just know that the success of your book is not determined by the book sales that you have and the number of it. It's determined by how you're able to pour your emotions and your mind into that literary piece.
Oh wow, thank you so much. This is such an amazing feedback, an amazing take, and amazing advice as well. And I'm hoping that viewers, including myself, would love to utilize it. And thanks for a lovely discussion about having a role for a particular reader, having a role for UP type. It comes up. I'd love to jump into it, really. I've been wanting to become an author for a very long while. Anyway, thank you so much for a lovely answer to that, really. And just in case we have some viewers who are currently watching this interview and would love to get a copy of any of your books, on what platform are they available on for purchase?
They're currently available on Amazon. You can buy them as a paperback, or you can buy or you can download them on Kindle. They're on Kindle Unlimited, and then I'll actually be releasing my ebook on Kindle Unlimited for Lookaway this weekend. So you'll be able to find everything there.
Interesting. That's great, really. And I left a link in the description part of this interview where interested viewers can get a copy of Julian Font's books directly on Amazon and also another platform. I also left a link to his website and social media pages for possible followings and also to his YouTube channel and Spotify account as well. So thank you so much, Julian Font, for accepting the invitation to be featured on P English Literature. I know we had a bit experience with the network going back and forth, which quite lovely. We finally have the conversation. We're on the finishing end here. Thanks for coming on. It's lovely having this conversation with you.
Absolutely, Peter. And thank you for having me. I appreciate, becoming a part of the channel and everything you're doing. You're doing amazing things for the book world, and hopefully I can play a part in that. So thank you again for everything.
My pleasure, really. Thanks so much. Yeah.